Y'all ready to begin to study a little bit again tonight? That's a few of you. We study. Why do we study? Show ourselves approved, right? Or become approved, whatever you want to say that. However you want to say it. Approved by who? What happens when we get God's approval? We don't need man's approval. That's number one. We moved. We were promoted. But number two, what was that scripture I quoted to you over and over? Let's see if it caught. To those that please God, what? My wife put this in here. To man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases him. Ecclesiastes 2:26. So it pays to be approved, right? And the only way to become approved is to study. I believe in parties. I believe in fun. Then there's that old thing called study. Never did like that. God makes me do it over and over and over. I'm glad He does. As soon as y'all are ready, I would like to see something back from you. A wave or whatever. I feel like I'm all right. All right, let's pray. Father, we look to you tonight. We know that we are already accepted by you. We know we stand here forgiven, and we thank you for that. We're not struggling to be approved. We're studying to be approved. That means we come right now in an approved position to study to become more approved. We're not dejected or rejected or failed. We're already where we're supposed to be. But we just want to get higher. We want to be closer to you. We want to know more about you. We thank you for your presence here tonight. We thank you that because your presence is here, we're going to understand more, know more than ever before. We're going to hear new things and see and understanding new things. And we're not going to leave here the same. We are leaving here changed in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees with that says amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you have had one of those days? Everybody I talked to has already had one of those days, so we put that behind us now. That day's over, right? I was just thinking about this a while ago. I leave a little early on Wednesdays to try to get my mind settled, but from the time I left and got home, which was about 4:30, I unloaded skid steer and put it away, and I unhooked the trailer and I put that away, and I started three sprinklers and I watered tomatoes and I gave three grandchildren baths and got ready, came up here, had a Whataburger, and now I'm here. That's fast, is it not? I got to thinking about that right before I stepped up here. And I thought, Stan, you are already approved in that area. Are you ready for the Word? I got ready for the Word. Now are we prepared to hear the Word, understand the Word? I'll do whatever it takes to get up here. How about you? We're flying out in the morning at about, we got to be around about 4:30. We'll be back next Wednesday at 3:45 and I'll meet you here. How about that? 3:45. Y'all better hold God to that because I have to boogie to get from the Corpus Christi Airport off a plane at 3:45 and be here by, amen? Hallelujah. I'm finding it very difficult to pull away from the presence of God. It seems like everything I want to study goes right back to the presence of God. Even study to show yourself approved means you'll get more of my presence. You'll understand and feel more of my presence by studying. So I want to, usually when God gets after me, I share it with you. So I'm not the only one getting in trouble here. Y'all got to get with me. So you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So I will tell you about, it may be a little incident to you, but it's a large one to me. I don't know if you heard about Ted Kennedy being in the hospital and having diagnosed as a malignant brain tumor. Well, excuse me for just a second. I slipped into the world for a second and said, couldn't have happened to a nicer fella. Because I'm old enough to remember where he killed his date while he was married in Chappaquiddick, run off and left her to die. I remember that. I can go back and see how the family made their fortunes. Crook's a dog hind leg, and he don't care about anybody but himself. So I just nearly want to have a party when I hear that he's going to suffer. And right after I let that come out of my mouth, I told my wife, I said, couldn't have happened to a nicer fella. And ooh, ooh. And so, to the best of my ability, I said, you know what? When you find out you've made a mistake with your mouth, correct it with your mouth. And so I told my wife, I said, you know, I don't want anybody to die of cancer. That's the devil's disease, and we don't want to take victory in anybody dying of cancer. But I knew I had displeased God. The ooh, Ted Kennedy can't make me go ooh over any reason. That's just the way it is. I don't have a hard time figuring out that's just an evil man. Y'all don't disagree with me, that's your business, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. You need to remember this. The Bible very much tells us about our rewards, where we get them, and how long they last. And if we could stay in the spirit realm, we'll understand that whatever reward or punishment I have on this earth is of no consequence compared to eternity. So I have to look at a man like that, and the Scripture says he gets his rewards here. He gets his rewards here. Don't be jealous. I wasn't jealous. I just don't like him. But, ooh, how many of us wish bad on people once in a while? Or maybe just get a little chuckle out of it when it happens. See, to me, this is where ooh comes from. Because I don't think that God's ever going to get a chuckle out of a bad thing happening to anybody, even if we bring it on ourselves, except for one. And you got to understand there's a chuckle in God's heart when the devil stumps his toes. How many of you understand that God does not like the devil? He doesn't like him at all. He prepared a special place for him. And it's all right if I don't like the devil's works. But Jesus taught us that we're to stay away from disliking, hating those people that are determining their eternal reward. As Jesus said, the Scripture says this, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You don't need to go any further. You know the rest. You know what you've had to do to take advantage of that. But what if we want to be like God, the first thing we have to do is offer something that you don't deserve. Come on. Every one of you, God walked up and offered you something that you didn't deserve. What am I required to do? My granddad, many years ago, when I was little, I heard him say, because somebody was griping about this lying, cheating thief up the street, whoever that was. And my granddad looked at that guy and he said, yeah, but have you talked to him today? And did you get that? Yeah, I know all that, but have you talked to him today? What does that mean? What does that mean? People have the opportunity to give their life to God, even Ted Kennedy. Then we're given this parable in the Bible about the guy that went to work, worked all this time for this amount of pay, and the guy came in the last minute, worked a few minutes, and got the same amount of pay. Remember that? Is that all right with me? Come on, let's be honest about our feelings. No, I don't set good. Will I accept it? Yeah, because God says so, I must accept it. Not only must I accept it, I must become at peace with it. Now, I've spent some time thinking about ooh. You understand that? If God talks to you about something, you need to give time for that, meditate on those things. That was a good thing. When God says, that's a good thing. When He says, I don't want you doing that, that's a good thing. Let Him have time to explain it to you, and He'll set you free in some areas. I believe as of today, a flood came. I've been busy. I've had one of those days all week. And I'm not going to ever tell you where I get these words, but all of a sudden the flood came. I had to go to my desk and begin writing, and I wrote this out. Then I get to type it up, which gives it some kind of order. But if I fully intend to spend eternity with a God that loved the whole world when they didn't deserve to be loved, then I must start here. Amen? All right, then let's begin to study. Every day, if we want to spend time in the presence of God, with God, we're going to have to be where he's at, doing what he's doing, but we got to be one step further. We have to be like-minded. You can't have the mind of God and be acting and thinking different than God. Right? So I want to ask you tonight, how's your heart? Have you got some us? I didn't say, are you a sinner? I didn't say that at all. I said, has the Holy Spirit, now let me say it another way. The Holy Spirit has been very faithful to you so far this week. That means He's already spoken to us about some things we need to take care of. If God doesn't speak to you during the week, you are not in the presence of God, which means you've walked away. You've turned up the radio, you've turned up the television, you got busy and you don't want to hear. Now I want to start with Matthew, and I'm going to give you some standard scriptures to bring to your remembrance, ones that he threw in my mind and my heart today. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Now what I did, stand before you, and I say this, what I did is I judged the man. Is it all right if I just tell you I did that? And if I died this moment, I'm going to heaven. If I died one moment after that, I'd have gone to heaven. Why? Because God knows that I'm willing to change, and that's all He cares about. There's always two sins. There's one sin unto death. There's one missing the mark. Totally two definitions if you look them up. This was not, whenever these things come up, these are not sins unto death. They're missing the mark, and He's setting you back on the right track. He's getting you to aim higher. All right, stand. You, judge not that you be not judged. That doesn't mean you don't have any judgment. It means don't use it. Don't use it here. Why? Because there's a higher power that will. Trust Him. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. I'm going to get over here and read my New King James. It's a whole lot easier. And why? Let me read the last part. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, why is this part important? Well, let me be real simple without getting specific. Everybody in this room has sinned. And you don't want that to be the measure. Because you went to Jesus and you took the blood and you erased it. Now, that's the measure you need to judge by. Or there's going to be another measure come back. Did I make that clear, or do I need to hit it again? All right, let me say another way. Every one of you in this room reached a point in your life where you realized because of the rebellion that you had accomplished in your life, you deserved death. That was the measure. You cried out to Jesus, the blood of Jesus washed that away. That's no longer there. And you can say amen. With excitement in your voice, you can say amen. Now you've got two measures to go by. You can stick with that judgmental one, the one that you were judged already to death. And if you do that, then that's the measure that'll come back to you. Or you can judge the whole world through the eyes of forgiveness, and that's the measure you'll be judged with. You can also get excited about that one, unless it's okay. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. These are promises. They're not bedtime stories. They're promises. That's part of your contract that you signed. Number 3, verse 3. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own? So you didn't know you had a plank, did you? Well, you know how I knew I had a plank? Because that little pimple on a wild hogs behind got my attention. Do you understand why I said it that way? He's not worth my attention. He's not worth blocking the vision of God that He has on the whole world. And that's what allowed this plank to get in my eye over this speck. So what I got to do, I got to get to the Word. I've got to get those things out of there so I can see the situation correctly. I can't see the forest for the trees. One tree. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look, a plank is in your own eye. Let me just go a little bit further. You know what that says? That says you are not able to minister unless you take care of yourself. Because if you don't get this nonsense out of you, you will minister nothing but nonsense. I can't minister forgiveness to you if I don't have it. I can't reach over there and say, let me pray for you, if I haven't taken care of the stuff that's between me and God right now. I can only give you what I've got. A lot of times the fallacy in ministry is that I can sit up here and the Holy Spirit is so interested in saving you that I can be a dirty, rotten adulterer, a drunk, and I can minister and you'll get saved. You know that it's possible, but we better do it from a distance. Because if you get very close, someone, what's on me is going to jump on you, even though you got saved. All right. Verse 5. Hypocrite? Uh-oh. Do you think that word might have been the. Come on. We're talking about plain old English here. I'm not going to get insulted if the Word of God calls me a hypocrite because I know it's good and not bad. You do it and we might fight. But the Word of God does it, we're not going to fight. I'm going to yield to it. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly. Is that a promise? Then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. Not only will you see clearly, you can minister. Because there's somebody out there that's in trouble. And they're so much in trouble, they don't know that they even got a speck or a plank. Only you can see that. Let me give you an example. Now don't get mad at me, you just listen. Because I'm telling you the way it went down. Jesus was walking along pure. Jesus never committed sin, the Bible tells us that. Is that correct? So we're all still friends, right? But he became the biggest sinner that's ever been on the face of the earth. How did that happen? He decided what? To do it. Not to commit the sin, to become the sin. There's a big difference. Huge difference. Don't get tripped up with a little word, but it's a huge difference. Now here's what happened. Jesus walking along, healing, saving, delivering, as we're supposed to do, even more so. That's what the Scripture says. And he realized there were sinners out there. And instead of them saying, go to hell, he said, can I help? God the Father told him, yeah, you can help. You see the sin? Take the sin. How do you take sin? Can you tell me how you take sin? Where are we going, God? Because I don't know what I'm doing here. I think you're right. If you think I'm kidding, I'm winging it. Huh? He decided to take the sin and offer forgiveness. But to do this, and this is the way it had to accomplish it, he had to become the sinner, which he didn't know how to do. So he said, nevertheless, that means I don't know what I'm doing, but thy will, not mine, thy will be done. And when he did that, he saw sin. Now, when I told you that this thing happened in my heart, what I saw was sin. Do you understand? I saw that sin. Jesus saw the sin. What did he do with it? He took it to the cross. Did he not do that? Did it not require blood to wash it away? What's required to wash mine away? When I looked at this, it was amazing. I saw a sinner go to the cross and get forgiven. Now in his case, he took sin and he got forgiveness. He didn't need it, we did. Did you hear that? He didn't need it, we did. Now what was the scripture that I just read to you? Thank you, Lord, I'm getting it now. First, remove the plank from your own eye. Do you think that at that particular moment that Jesus had received the sin of the entire world on himself, could he have said, I forgive you? No. He couldn't. Why? There was a weight there that prevented him. It says that if you will first remove the speck or the plank from your eye, what now happens? Huh? Then you'll be able to cast it out from someone else's or your brother's eye. Is this what Jesus did? When he took care of it, then he was able to forgive the entire world. How did he do it? With the blood of Jesus. How do we do it? Blood of Jesus. I recognize the sin. I take it to the cross. The blood of Jesus washes it away. And now, just like Jesus, I'm able now to look at the speck or whatever in your eye and relieve you from it. How? Well, you're forgiven? You are, and I can tell you that, but that's not how. I point it out. Or the Holy Spirit, in whatever I'm trying to do, points it out. Ugh. In other words, the ugh in me, when I get rid of that, it'll cause an ugh in you. That's what Jesus did. Jesus, it ugh him so bad, he sweat drops of blood. And he worked at this thing, and he worked at this thing. I just told you, I spent days thinking about this. He worked at it, and he worked at it, until he got her done. You understand? Now all I have to do is mimic him. Know what the scripture says? How in the world, I'm going to bring it up to you, I don't think you got it yet. I am going to have to recognize the planks in my eye before I can minister to anybody else. Because it's the way Jesus did it, and we are trying our best to do it the way Jesus did it. All right, let me say it another way. I'm going to look forward to the oomphs because I know what's going to happen next is I'm going to take that away from somebody else. If I want to help somebody else, the best way to do it is figure out how to help me. The weight of sin was on Jesus. He did it the Father's way. And the weight was removed. I had a weight. I'm going to do it the Father's way. It's going to be removed. Now I'm going to be free to say, weight be off of you. I'm now signed up. I'm free to do that. Let's go on. I must recognize that there's something between God and I. I must admit it. And then I must take it to its death through the blood of Jesus. Doing this eliminates the wages of sin. You remember what I said, what measure you judge, you'll be judged? That measure is eliminated. And then obedience to this gives me freedom to act like Jesus. If I do it like Jesus, I get to act like Jesus. Does that make sense what I'm saying? I must know that there's an ugh or a sin or a pain, something that's separating. I don't feel right about it. I speak it out. I say it. I don't want any more to do that. I can change it. You work your salvation out with fear and trembling, but you work at it. So why? So that I can be like Jesus on this earth. I can minister and I can speak and I can touch and I can raise the dead and I can heal the sick because Jesus said so. Haggai. Chapter 1, verse 7, 5 through 7. Now, this is a good tithe scripture because this is a tithe scripture. If you want to know, this is a direction for tithe. What is the greatest tithe that you can give to God? It's not money. This is dealing with money, but this is a spiritual direction too. It's your life. It's your time. It's your love, it's your obedience, it's your respect. You give him that, okay? Now let's just talk about that for a minute. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Okay, now we know what God is saying. Do you want to know something? He says this every day, every moment of every day. If the Bible says this, if you will judge yourself, the world won't be allowed to judge you. Which is the opposite of that is, if you don't, the world will judge you. Consider your ways. That's how you judge yourself. When I felt, oof, I said instantly, that was wrong. See, I can judge one person. That's me. That was wrong. What's your sentence? The blood of Jesus. I'm going to say that to you again. When you find out you've done something wrong, your sentence, you have a choice. Jesus, the Bible says, choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses. So when the pain comes, I say, oop, that was wrong. Then I can say, which wage do I want? Well, then I better do this. I curse this sin by the blood of Jesus. Wash it away. That's what happens. All right? Consider your ways. You have sown much. Now here's what's happening. Let's just, when we read this, let's say, is this my life? So that we can get it changed if it is. You've sown much, you bring in little. Now please, we're talking about the one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the 1,000 hills. So we're not talking about the difference between $24,000 a year or $75,000 a year. We're talking about something with a lot greater spread than that. You have sown much, you bring in little. You eat, but you never have enough. Maybe that's why that we've got such an obesity problem in the United States. Nobody's satisfied. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. You earn wages to put into a bag with holes. Now come on. You earn wages, and it feels like there's a hole in the bottom of the sack. If you don't feel that right now, then praise God. But if you do, praise God. Luke chapter 6. Consider your ways. Okay, let me go back to that just for a second. If you are tithing properly, the moments in the day are your best tithe. Why? Because that's when God will speak to you. If you're walking around in the presence of God, thinking about God all day long, can you do that? Yes, you can. Should you do that? Yes, you should. Are you required to do that? Yes, you are. Did I answer all the questions? Then he can, if you are in that, in tune like that, then he can go, ooh. And nobody has to know about it. It's just between you and him. And you won't feel like, oh boy, I'm just going to hell. Because that's a lie from hell. If you are considering your ways, in other words, let me say it another way. There's many church people that believe that every time they have a spiritual pain, God did it to them. Rather than God is allowing you to feel it. What do you think he feels? If I get in tune with the mind of Christ and the heart of God, and I hurt the heart of God, should I hurt? Oh yeah. Just say, oh yeah. Because that's what you want. You want to know what he's feeling. You want to know what he's thinking. If you cause a sticker in his foot, you need to feel it. You want to feel it. You want to know when God is a little uncomfortable. You need to be a little uncomfortable so you can get that corrected quickly. Amen? Don't ask God what he's up to if you've got a spiritual pain. Ask him what you're up to. Okay? Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Now we're going back to talking about me. Uh-oh, as soon as we get to Luke. Chapter 6, verse 43. Oh, you really like that one, huh? He wants to stay on that one for a while. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit. Okay, who are we talking about, you or me? Me. And I get to share it with you. So if I'm considering my ways and some bad fruit comes out of my mouth, then I must judge that fruit or I'm not considering my ways. This is not scripture for you. This is lifeblood for me. And you're just getting to share it. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. See, that's a setting free scripture right there. You don't have to live up to my standards, and I don't have to live up to yours. Understand? For men do not gather figs from thorns, and they do not gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good fruit. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, I stand convicted and I stand forgiven. Was that hard? Did what I just do in front of you, was that hard? Then why don't we do it more? Why don't you do it more? Why don't we convict ourselves and then set ourselves free with the formula that God has given us? Yes, then that was dumb. Thank God you're not going to do it again. You're set free. That thing that happened a minute ago has just now been washed away with the blood of Jesus, and you don't have to answer for it again. You took care of it, just as Jesus took care of it. And you will not be allowed to crucify Him afresh, the Bible says. So who's going to get crucified? Me. I'm not going to be dumb enough to hang Jesus on the cross again, or try to, so that I can be forgiven again. I am forgiven. Because when this old flesh decides it's going to start bearing some fruit that's not that God judges bad, then this old flesh is going to get nailed to the cross one more time. And if need be, I'll do it in front of you. Because it's worth it. It's worth it. And I don't want my life to be described as a bag with holes in it. If I'm going to tithe my life into the work of God, I want there to be some fruit. Good fruit. So out of the abundance of my heart, the mouth is speaking. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Let me say it another way. Don't call me Lord, Lord, and show everybody that you don't intend to be like me. Don't call me Lord, Lord, if you're going to put out bad fruit. Let me tell you this. I don't care if it's Ted Kennedy. I don't care what it is. Holding something against someone assures us of guilt. It assures us of guilt. Or someone holding something against us. If I can't trust Ted Kennedy to God, God's not going to trust me. If I can't forgive him like he's never done anything, then I'm not forgiven like I've not done anything. I don't have to have supper with him. But if God asked me to, I would. And I do it with a smile on my face. I don't like Brussels sprouts. Is that okay? So some of us are just going to have likes and dislikes and not stand convicted. I may not fellowship with everybody in the world because I may not like dominoes. And all he wants to do is play dominoes. It can be that silly, but it's okay. We're free, right? Come on. I don't have to live my standards according to yours or yours to mine. Holding something against someone assures us of guilt. Now, what's the pastor been teaching about guilt? It's the surest way to stay in bondage. Until you let it go, loose it, you're going to be in bondage to guilt, if nothing else. And of course, that's a snowball effect because then we're going to spend the rest of our lives holding something against somebody. We may forget why, but we still know. I'm serious as a heart attack. I had somebody say, I don't like that man. I brought up a name. I said, why? He said, I don't know yet, but he's done something and I will remember it. I asked him for months, what'd he do? I don't know, but I will remember it. That's bad when you hold a grudge and you can't even remember why. But I know it's there and I will remember it one day. Oh my goodness, what are you pronouncing upon yourself? You think I made that story up and I named the name. But I won't. I want to show you what happens. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. I'm going to show you. And I may take you further than you want to go, and I may not try. But Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Sin was covering the face of the earth. Did you hear me? Do you remember that in the Bible? Everything was full of sin, God said. Except Noah and his family. You know why God could say except Noah and his family? Because it wasn't Noah saying the world is full of sin. It was God. Noah was minding his own business. And he wasn't holding it against the world. So he was free. Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Why? Why? God saved him. Do you hear me? God saved him. Washed with a flood. Type and shadow. Do you understand me? in the middle of sin, the greatest sin, Noah's washed with a flood. And he was excited. And he was offering up thank yous. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never, ever, ever... You think that's pretty serious when God says that? I will never, ever curse the ground for man's sake or because of what man does. So we're not walking in a cursed earth anymore because it's been washed with the flood. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. And here's his promise. You take it as a promise, you take it as a threat, but you better believe it. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Let me say it to you again. As long as the earth is here, you put seed in the ground, you're going to get a like harvest. That means if I walk in freedom and I give it, I'm going to walk in it. If I give it, I'm going to walk in it. And it's going to stay that way. It's going to get larger and larger in my life. As long as the earth remains, cold and heat. He's comparing it to something that we understand. Winter and summer, day and night, it shall not cease. Man, if you want to understand seed time and harvest, you better start with us. When God raises his hand and says, this is the way it's going to be, you better believe it and you better start seeding the right thing. Now here's the result of being washed in the flood. So God blessed Noah and his son and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Where did this come from? This came from Adam. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we're washed in the flood of blood, the same thing happens. We're invoked. The ground's not cursed. Your pockets are not cursed. You're not cursed. The earth is not cursed. You're blessed. You'll be fruitful and you will multiply because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many times do I need to say that? And the only way you can walk in a curse is to plant a curse because the curse can't make it through the flood. You don't have a curse following you if you're flooded by the blood. It says that your heart wants to do evil. I'm sitting here telling you my heart wants to do evil. But that didn't change the blessing because I've been washed by the flood. Not only does forgiveness happen, but restoration happens with the blood flood. Better than the water flood. We got the blood flood. Forgiveness happens. That's a minor thing. It may be an eternally minor thing, but let's get past it and let's go on to the restoration. Let's get on to the eternal blessing, the one that as long as the sun rises in the east, sets in the west, seed time and harvest. And I can stand in front of you with the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony, and I promise you I'm going to get a harvest because I'm doing what God told me to do. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I want you to understand the same God that said seed time is harvest is now giving. How can he do this? Because in the crucifixion resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Jesus went to hell and got the keys back that the devil stole. And who did he give it to? Who did he give it to? Not you? I thought that's what the scripture says. You! Keys to what? Kingdom? Keys to the kingdom? Keys from the one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills and that guarantees when I plant in his soil, I will get a harvest or his spiritual work, I will get a harvest. And he says, I give you the keys. Oh, y'all are not excited enough or you must think they don't fit. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, how many of you want somebody to go to hell? How many of you might have a Ted Kennedy in your life? Come on, I'm just getting it down where the rubber meets the road here. How many of you would just kind of nearly smile with that one person, place, or thing going to hell? It needs to make a ugh right here, if it's yes. Why? Because you can send them to hell. Why? By not obeying God, you can't help them get the speck or the plank out of their eye. And you can bind them in that speck or that plank. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You know what I bind in my life? The speck and the plank. So when I bind the speck and the plank, what do I loose? The same thing Jesus loosed when he was washed with the flood. The same... That's what I want to loose in this earth. I want the speck and the plank out of my eye so that I can loose the speck and the plank in yours. Now, do you think the presence of God votes yes on that? Do you think if that goes on in our life, the presence of God gets stronger? Now, a couple of questions for you. Do I want my past sins to determine my future? You didn't say it loud enough. Do I want my past sins to determine my future? Then I must loose them. I must, as this flood, the blood flood comes along, I got to let it go in the flood. Noah peeked out the window and he saw dead things floating away. Why don't we just get gross enough to see that in our lives? Those things that are causing us death, we want to see them float away in the blood flood. Float away. If I don't want my past sins to determine my future, am I going to ask in somebody else's life for their past sins to determine their future? So, if I saw this gentleman put out bad fruit yesterday, will I be enough like God to say, if I talk to him today? Or will I just determine that yesterday's sins determines your future? Because the minute I say that, guess what I just bound in my life? I've not loosed him, so I've bound me. Or I have not loosed me. The minute I loose him from that, I loose me. If I want to be free from my past, I've got to let other people's past go too. Now, let's don't get crazy. And God forgive Ted Kennedy, but he sure is a good example. I'm not going to get into Lincoln Continental with Ted Kennedy and a woman. Now, do you know why I'm saying that? Because it's wrong. It's wrong for me. I don't care what's right or wrong for him. It's wrong for me. My Bible says to abstain from the very appearance of evil. Right? That don't mean I'm not going with you because you're a dirty, rotten sinner. I can look at you and say, I'm not doing that because it's wrong for me. And I am not convicting you in any way, shape, form, or fashion, but I promise you, I'm not going down that path. If I don't want my past sins to determine my future, then will I allow my blood deliverance to assure my future? You didn't even answer. What's wrong with y'all? I said, if I won't allow my past sins to determine my future, will I allow the blood deliverance to determine my future? Well, guess what I also have to let happen to everybody else? Will I allow? Here's a question that God asked me, and I'm going to ask you because I ain't taking this one by myself. Will I allow others to be forgiven without my permission or knowledge? Oh, come on. Get real. This is right down to the core of judgmentalism, religion. Is it all right for God to forgive Ted Kennedy without my permission? And he doesn't even have to consult with me, does he? See, that don't go down easy with me, but I got to agree with you. You're absolutely right. He can do anything he wants to do, anytime he wants to do it, and he doesn't have to get my approval. In fact, it's better if he doesn't, because I might hesitate. It could be a life and death situation for eternity. Will I allow God to determine others' futures? You said that, right? Will I allow God to determine other people's futures? Yes? So that others do not determine mine. Whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven, right? So if you're making it to heaven, doesn't involve me, then I'm free. Now, I'm not saying that I can't minister to the situation. I'm saying if I don't require... Let me say it another way. Jesus used parables. You like parables? I know a guy that was a bad guy. 42, 43, 44, bad guy. And he went to church one time to get his wife to shut up. I might even use some expletives in there the way he described it. Sitting back there, the preacher preached on tithe that Sunday, and he went straight down to get saved. And he said, Stan, I don't have the slightest idea why I did that. He said, I was standing there minding my own business. And the next thing I know, I'm at the front saying, God, forgive me. And I don't even know what the preacher said. Don't care. And that testimony came across the dinner table. And the guy at the dinner table said can't have happened that way. What do you mean it can't have happened that way? Well, it's got to be. We've got to get the Romans Road out. And we've got to make that person and that God follow that formula as in the opinion of the person sitting there. Now I'm going to rub your nose in your answer a while ago. You don't have to be in church to get saved. God can do it any way He wants, anytime He wants. My dad preached a powerful funeral sermon one time. His best friend's son, which I'd been raised with this guy, died with a needle in his arm. And my dad was asked to preach that funeral. Now, in case you haven't ever been asked to preach a funeral, the first thing you do is cry out, "Oh my God, what do I say about a guy that died with a needle in his arm?" And you know what God responded to him? "Ask him this, how long does it take to say I'm sorry?" Did I say any place, any time, any way he wants? We got to be open for the fact that at the last minute, the wages are the same. We have no idea. We're not even close to being smart enough to understand the miraculous ways of God. Everybody that dies is going to get saved. No. You can't find that in the Word. But don't use that to block the door. Don't be there. I'm going to free others so I'm free. I'm going to loose others so they're loosed. I'm going to forgive others so I can be forgiven. I'm not going to require their ways to determine their future so somebody else determines mine. No, no, no. It's not going to happen. I want to loose everything so that I'm truly loosed. I want to be forgiven so that I want to forgive so that I can be totally forgiven. I want to forget so that everything that I've ever done can be forgotten. I want to be free. Do I have a soft heart for a lost world or a hard heart? Am I like Christ? Did He have a soft heart for a lost world? Have I yet traded my heart for the heart of Christ? Or am I still holding on to the right to judge? Did Jesus say I didn't come to this earth to judge this earth? Oh my goodness. Then I better get out of that business, hadn't I? To assure God's presence in my life, I must have a soft heart, easily touched by God, easily touched by salvation, never touched by manipulation or a lie that says there's no hope. You want to hear the biggest lie that the devil will tell you to manipulate you? Look at that person. You and I both know there's no hope. Well, look at all this stuff he's done. Let's don't. Let's don't look what he's done, because then somebody's got to look at our lives. It's seed time. It's harvest. It's going to happen. Let's just get out of the business. You know what the hardest thing about being saved for a long time is? You start judging other people. Come on, let's be honest. Well, if you just do it my way, wait a minute, your way was sin and death until you were saved. I think they are doing it there your way. So why don't you loose them? Say, God, this you are not my responsibility. I didn't die for you, and I don't intend to. How many martyrs do we need in this earth? None. How many deliverers do we need? Deliverers do we need? One. Have we got him? Yes. Let's not look for another one. I'm not your salvation. You're not mine, praise God, for me, you, the whole thing. Jesus carried the weight of the world on his shoulders. I don't have to. He was judged to be a sinner. I, by his work, I'm judged to be free. And now all I have to do is the work of Christ and judge by saying, here's the judgment, the blood flood. The blood flood. You want your whole life to change? You want all the curses to be erased? The blood flood. And you watch the presence of God come in and change you, change the person you're talking to and the situation around you. Amen? I feel better. I'm not either. Shut up. That's consider your ways, what I just did in front of you, and I do it often. Because I got a loose mouth sometime, and I'm the only one to control that. And I'm going to practice until I get it right. Then I got a ways to go. Amen? Are y'all real before God? Or are you trying to paint a religious picture? Be real before God and watch Him make you look different, act different, think different. Y'all stand with me. What I pray and what I believe is that the thing that I've shared with you tonight is going to change your life. And I'll have it no other way. I have the keys. I need to begin to act like it. You got keys? Do you have keys? You know what I tell you for sure? You have keys to people's lives. You do. There's some people that nobody else in the world can touch but you. You've been given the keys. You need to walk around all day long saying, is it this one? Is it this one? And when you've unlocked that one, go the next one. And just be prepared for God to ask you to use the keys that He's given you. And then the key is going to release, the first thing is going to release a blood flood. And the next thing that needs to happen is in the presence of God flood. Not one time, but all the time. I don't want to have to come to church to have God. In fact, here is the place to enjoy what you've learned during the week. You come in here to thank God and praise God for Him convicting, correcting, changing, loosing in you those things that you couldn't do, so that you now can loose things in people that they can't do. Amen. Amen. I'm excited about this. You know how I know when you're excited? When you get a growl in your voice. When you can look at the enemy and say, I have the keys. They used to belong to you, devil. They don't anymore. Somebody greater than you gave them to me. You better be careful about what I'm going to do with them, because I'm not going to be careful. Y'all feel better tonight? So now you've had one of those weeks starting tonight, right? If God touches your heart, be quick to repent. Be quick to loose those things from your life so that when somebody needs that quick loosening, you can give it to them. Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word. I thank You that what we did here tonight sets us free, shows us and counts us as approved. Now we expect You to honor Your Word in our lives. And as we repent, as we loose, You cause us to be that minister in this earth that You've designed us to be. As we study Your Word, as we grow into Your likeness and image, that power that's been taken away, that wealth that's been taken away, that health that's been taken away, is now restored. The bad floats away in the blood flood. The good comes right into our life, the promises of God, and we have our obligation to You is to build that altar and give You praise. So right now we give You praise for the miracles that are to come, the prosperity that's to come, the power, the thought processes that change our lives. And then more than that, the plank or the speck that's in our eye is removed now in Jesus' name. And now we can look and see those that need deliverance, and we're free to deliver, free to share that word, free to let them overcome with the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony over them. Let it be so. Let it be done. We speak with a loud voice tonight as Jesus did, as it was washed away, and said, it is finished. It is finished. It is finished. And for those that agree with this, let it be known by, in Jesus' name, saying, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.